We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Our weekly get-together with Teddy Bruschi being brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, Window Nation, by Kaplansky Insurance. They shop, so you save at Kaplansky.com. And by Zooty, you can build any apps your company needs.
Let's go! Visit Zooty.com
for details. Boy, we are upping the music today for Bruschi, aren't we? This is unbelievable. Joining us live right now on the Harbor
Let's
One
go!
Hotline. Indeed, Teddy Bruschi. Mr. Bruschi.
I feel it for you.
Oh, real quick, Glenn, before you ask anything.
That's for you, buddy.
That's for you. Wait, what, before we get into the important questions.
Yeah.
Full tilt, full time. Like, where did that start? Did you make it up? Was that some fan that did that? What is that? Because I used to, when I first got here, I see the little banners at the bottom of the stadium. Full tilt, full time. Like, what is that about?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of special New England Patriots fans that I've formed relationships with over the course of my career. And a guy's name by the my name is Randy Pierce, nicknamed Zip, a good friend of mine. That when I first met him at the New England Patriots, he was vision impaired and he had a seeing eye dog with him. And as the years progressed, he ended up losing his sight, and he was always in this same section. I think we met during training camp. I mean, we've got like the same birthday. We've known each other for years. We still email each other back and forth, but I'd always go see him and the Full Tilt, Full Time crew that he started back in the day, and that's how it all started, from just a relationship I had with Zip.
There you go.
That's how we know.
Story time with Teddy Bruschi.
All right, so normally we sit here every week and talk about a game that they just played and a game that's upcoming, but in this bizarre, wacky world of the National Football League, we don't have that luxury right now. We do know a couple things here today, Teddy. We believe that both Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore will play in this game. They would not have played if they played it last week. But I'm wondering, with everything that you're hearing and we're hearing from players right now, is this not a blessing in disguise in that this team might have really come together this past week because of the concern they had down in Foxborough about the players' health and safety?
Yeah, guys, it's a really weird situation they're in. I mean, talk about a bye week, but really it's not a bye week, because you really think that you have a game coming up and you're preparing every day and you're waiting to hear what the news is in terms of when you will play, but basically it turns into a bye where you have a handful of days off. But, you know, normally you know when the bye's there and it's scheduled and you can schedule some type of relaxing time to get away from it. So they really didn't have one, and their schedule now is just even more difficult than it is. And the things they have to go through is just totally unique, because you play the game without your quarterback, and now it looks like your quarterback is coming back, but still you've got to bulk of the season to go through, and you don't have any type of break coming in the near future.
Teddy, do you think that if Byron Cowart doesn't test positive on Sunday, that they would have played Monday night?
That's a huge possibility. I mean, you've got to think that, I mean, with no additional positive tests, that was probably going to go through with it. And you don't know what would have happened there in terms of who would have been available for them to play. I think the big bomb would have dropped if some of the Titans players had some positive results or something like that, that Tuesday game ends up being canceled, because now the whole schedule's blown up. Because now when do you reschedule it? You can't give a team another bye week. And so then everything, you know, it hits the fan. So this season truly is fluid in terms of the schedule, the extra week at the end of the year. Could it be added? Absolutely. And going into the playoffs, do they consider some type of stricter sort of isolation, just so the games get played? Because you're talking playoff time, if you get any type of positive that happened with the New England Patriots and it's your quarterback, all of a sudden your team's totally different going into the biggest game of the year.
Well, I ask you because, I mean, locally at least, the people that cover this team almost feel like there was this growing frustration, which I'm sure there was, given what happened last Monday night and throughout the week, that they almost made it sound like it was the players' call. And they almost told the league we're not playing on Monday, which I find hard to believe that the league would just be like, oh, okay, we'll move 8 games around. I think the league is the one that shut it down after they saw the positive test on Sunday, not the players.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. I heard you guys talking about it earlier, but I think the players need to realize, too, how much power they have in terms of, you know, taking ownership of the season and how they want to handle it, because if the NBA is any example of it, and the things that happen in terms of social justice with George Floyd during the season and the NBA players walking off the court, you know, that type of power, when players get together, is possible. And if there are a group of players that are extremely frustrated about how, you know, they're sort of being disregarded in terms of their physical health. Because I think the NFL is doing a great job in terms of that medical health of the players regarding the virus. I mean, okay, you get a positive test, shut down the facility, postpone the game, move it to Monday, move it to Tuesday. But then you go Tuesday, Sunday. Is anyone going to have to go Wednesday, Sunday? You know, those type of physical, you know, sort of stresses that put on your body. Because in the facility, like Gillette Stadium, just think of it being all-inclusive in terms of everything that I can get to either prepare mentally, physically, rehabilitate, recover. Everything is there in that facility. And to minus that from my equation, so now I'm at my house. I mean, and I'm thinking, okay, where do I recover? How do I get in various, you know, rehabilitation techniques? Where do I get those done? Everything is just thrown out of whack. I mean, and this isn't day to day. This is an hour to hour. This is Zoom to Zoom. I mean, these guys are doing Zoom meetings with position coaches and special teams coaches with their kids on their laps. And it's just a different focus that they have to deal with. So medically, go ahead, NFL, do what you got to do. But they got to start to consider the physical, you know, the limits that these players can have with shorter weeks.
So we're talking to Teddy Bruschi, Patriots Hall of Famer. So, Teddy, I mean, you said a lot about health and safety and player power. And how, and I thought that what Bill did on Friday was huge. How important was that for Bill?
Calling practice?
Calling practice, it's less about safety, but more about a sign to his players that he cares about them. How important was that?
Yeah, I think you look at that, if you're a player in that locker room, you can see, you know, your head coach even trying to help you out a little bit in terms of, like, he's with you in that type of thing. I think that, you know, maybe it was he knew the frustrations of the players and the scheduling at that point, and he felt like, well, if this gets rescheduled, I mean, we're going to be having a day off anyway, so why not just give you guys the day off? I think that's just Bill being aware of the whole situation. the captains do a great job, too, of expressing, at least I just know when I was in those captains' meetings, Bill listened to everything we had to say, whether it was concerns about the game plan, we needed better internet in the locker room, the shower pressure wasn't very good, to where the schedule sucks, we need it changed. Bill was very receptive to listening to that in the captain's meeting. So this could be the players, too, also expressing, you know, their type of sort of, not regrets, but just sort of thinking the schedule is really something that they're having concerns with.
So, Teddy, the Tennessee Titans didn't practice for 16 days. Well, they had a little bit of practice during those 16 days. Didn't play since September the 27th. They had come under tremendous scrutiny as to whether they were violating the protocol of the NFL. And then they go out and beat up a 4-0 team. And I'm telling you, they destroyed them in the course of the game. What does that tell us?
I think it tells the resiliency of the professional football player in the NFL. If you have a coach that can keep you focused, I mean, we all know Vrabes pretty well, and you know he's got a lot of Belichick in him in terms of how to keep a team focused. I think that's a sign of that. I think the NFL can look at it. I hope they don't look at it like, oh, it's possible. I mean, they don't need any practice. These guys just go out there and play. I think to do that on a regular basis would be very difficult, but I think that shows, I think that's why this championship, just sort of I look at the NBA bubble and the championship that was won there and this NFL championship, the mental toughness of whatever squad is able to make it through to the Super Bowl and win is got to be off the charts. It's off the charts in my opinion because of everything that's under your helmet that you're dealing with, the scheduling changes, the loss of teammates. Just the mental toughness would be incredible to complete this type of championship. I think the players see that too, but it's early right now, and I still think there's a little bit of a frustration phase at times with some of these guys.
Yeah, but when you say like you don't want them to think they can do this, like the Titans don't want to go another week or two without being able to practice, but I do think the league was a big winner because I think they can set precedent. You know, for if it happens to a team once throughout the year and they say, listen, the Titans went out there, They had 4, 5, 6 starters that weren't able to play. They didn't practice at all, and they went out there and won a football game. I think they actually maybe set precedent here for some other teams that might say it's unfair advantage for us to play without practicing.
Yeah, for the league to justify to themselves that it's okay to push a team to its limits because they can still perform. Sure, I would see it that way, too, that it's just doable. And, you know, this year, it's got to be doable to the owners, to the coaches, that I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You're going to have to deal with it. If you're minus this player, that's the way it has to be. But the schedule or anything, I think we've all shown now that it can provide still the adequate preparation via Zoom meetings, via all of that stuff mentally. I don't know how the physical aspect of it is. How do the Titans players and the Bills players feel today in terms of physically, in terms of not getting the right physical preparation going up to this, like I was saying, using that facility. And now they have a short week, I believe, you know, playing that next game. And a lot of it had to do, too. I mean, those Bills, they didn't play very well. It's just anything can happen, I understand that. But Josh Allen, too, that quarterback that, you know, I was so high on early in the year, that type of play is still in that type of guy. You know what I mean? And so the Titans took advantage of it, and they had a great game and got the win.
Speaking of the Titans and specifically Mike Vrabel, what I think is interesting is that out of all the assistant coaches and coordinators to leave and become head coaches at other organizations in the NFL, even in college for that matter, it seems like the one guy who has come closest to replicating what Bill has created in New England is Mike Vrabel. From top to bottom, from the players, from the mentality, to focusing on, you know, all those little things, all those finer things that, you know, a lot of people take for granted. It seems like Vrabel is the guy that's accomplished it. Do you agree? And why?
Well, with his success, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, I'm not surprised about the win. I mean, that team was in, that team went deep in the playoffs last year. It's a good football team. Vrabes was always good at taking everything Bill was doing, but was also quick to call BS on the stuff that he didn't believe was right, you know. And so not being that clone that, you know, Josh McDaniels got caught up in his first time over at Denver, and I'm not afraid to say it. I've talked to players. That's what he was trying to be. You know the sense of a copycat, and I think Josh has learned from that. He'll do a great job his second time around. I know he's going to get one, all right? I'm still in his camp. He's going to be a good head coach, but Vrabes, none of that is in him in terms of he was a player. He won championships. He knew what was right. We would call Bill Belichick out in the meetings. We weren't afraid to do that. And he's taken that over the head coaching to the head coach role in terms of you can still be a Bill Belichick type of coach and demand a lot from your players, but still have your own personality and realize that sometimes a relationship is okay to be formed if you have that type of personality. And Vrabes has that type of personality where he can get everyone playing hard for him and get all of his assistant coaches on the same page.
Yeah, because even to the point of the, you know, the chip on the shoulder, because I think with a lot of these teams, they think if they get a Bill Belichick coach, you know, they get the system, but it's, you know, Vrabel is one of a kind. So it's not like, you know, these other guys are going to be great. They just maybe they never had it in them and they're too afraid to actually be themselves because all they know is Bill.
Yeah, because to have information is one thing, but I really believe when you're at the head coaching position, you need to be a leader that guys can look to, and the tone setting that you have has to be genuine and real, and players can sense this. I mean, at any level, you can. A guy's talking to you in the room. Is that real? Do I agree with that? Does this guy know where I'm coming from? Those type of questions a player have looking back at a head coach that's saying to them something in a team meeting or a pregame talk or something like that. How real is the coach? Vrabel is 100% real.
Teddy, 2 weeks in a row, we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs look vulnerable. They win one barely, and they lose the next one. Are they getting to the point right now where they're just sitting around waiting for Patrick Mahomes to constantly bail them out? Do they have some issues with that team?
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes has some problems too, O, because, I mean, this guy, it seems like, I mean, he's just trying to score on every play. And the greed of Patrick Mahomes is coming out a little bit at times in terms of ball's not on time. He feels the schedule. He feels the pressure. It's off schedule. I've got this arm that even when I'm backing up to 16 yards, I can just flick it and do all this, so let me run around. And you know what? Defenses are starting with the Los Angeles Chargers early on. They're telling them that, okay, we dare you to take that check down. We dare you to hit that Clyde Edwards-Helaire out in the flat, because we're going to send eight back. You know, we're going to send maybe only four rushers on a regular basis and just say max coverage here. We know you want to throw it deep to Tyreek Hill, and we dare you to throw it to the check down. He doesn't do that on a regular basis. He just wants to run around, and then have off-schedule plays. And that can start to be a problem when all you do is do it. That's all you do. Rushers get more comfortable with it. They formulate a better plan, and all of a sudden, you're in third and 10, third and 12 situation that you have to consistently convert, and especially in the red area. I mean, there was a three-play sequence versus the New England Patriots. I mean, all three downs, they were three-man rush, eight-man drop. And on two of those three downs, he was just sitting there, just waiting for someone to get open, and they were two successful downs. They got him on the third down, but still, you could see that mentality with Mahomes. I want the score every single time, and that's not how you do it.
Teddy, it's now official, apparently, according to Field Yates, Cam Newton has been activated from the COVID list. Is that – now, we don't know about Steph Gilmore, but is that kind of all you needed to see to feel comfortable about this game on Sunday, or is Steph Gilmore still that important for this game?
He's important. He is. I mean, but, you know, the Broncos look like they'll be getting Drew Locke back. They don't know if they'll have Fant, the tight end. I guess he's a little question also. I know that the offensive line in Denver is bad. But having Cam back is, I'd say, even more important because of just the identity that they have now and that they formed, Lou. I mean, these guys, I mean, this is a power-running football team, and Cam Newton, when you're playing 11-on-11 football, it's just a different deal. And I'm not surprised that Cam's going to be back. I knew this was coming. But, you know, Cam is, I mean, he's the new engine of the New England Patriots. And the way he goes, I mean, that's where the offense goes. And even the defense feeds off of that type, because you hear Bill say all the time, complementary football, this, that, right? But really, complementary football is defined now in terms of, if I'm a defender, I get a three and out, and I know my offense is capable of having a 6-7 minute drive that results in possibly at least a field goal. And so if I just keep doing that, this is going to be, you know, I don't know how many reps, made 40, 50, 55 play game where our offense is running that ball so well and controlling the clock that, you know, it's even helping us out defensively.
All right. Last one for me to tell you, and I'm sure we're going to let you go here at some point in time. I know it's early. I'm not going to hold you to it, and I feel like we'll monitor it as we go. But, you know, a little past a quarter of the season, who's your best team in the AFC and who's your best team in the NFC?
Okay. My best team in the NFC, I really think Green Bay looks good. I love the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, so I think the Packers on how they've been playing. They have a tough game coming up versus the Bucks, but the Packers are sitting at 4-0. They're looking pretty good. You know, the Rams are quietly good also in the NFC West, which is a tough division, so maybe those two teams. Really, in the AFC, I like the Steelers. And I just love the way their defense plays. And as Ben gets a little bit more comfortable, I mean, they've got a Deontay Johnson, a young receiver that's been developing. The Claypool kid had a 3-4 touchdown day. So right now I like the Steelers. I mean, you know the Chiefs are going to be there in the end. A lot of good teams, but right now I'd have to lean towards the Steelers, who play the Browns this week, who are 4-1. So they've got a tough test too.
All right, Teddy, before we let you go, last week we talked about Teddy's team collaborating with a winery out of Walla Walla, Washington. Very good winery called Knocking Point. And you were nice enough to send us a couple bottles of wine each. And Christian is a connoisseur of wine.
I couldn't leave you guys out.
Oh, I loved it.
So
thank
I thought you. I would start with Christian. Christian, what did you think of the wine?
Well, it was a great mix.
No, they're called blends.
Well, here's
in wine.
Here's what I'll say.
It's tequila with lime juice. That's different.
It was easy for me to go through two bottles in about 2 days. Let's say that. It was really quick.
Guys, the sales have been great. It's comebackwine.com. I think there's something like 40 cases left. So it's been a great fundraiser for Teddy's team and the Comeback Assistance Program.
Outstanding. The fireplace was on Tuesday night football. Ball of comeback. Come on.
I got to tell you, Teddy, it is really good, and it's very reasonable. It's $54 for two bottles, and obviously you're helping out Teddy's team as well, so all of that together.
And Glenn's a wine snob.
I am a wine snob.
I appreciate that.
But it's very good. It's very good. It's got some depths to it. There you go, Christian. That's a wine.
Oh, okay, good.
Depth.
Did it have legs?
Yeah, nice a little finish. Bit complex for a young wine. It's 2018. It's complex. Teddy, great stuff. And again, where do they get the wine?
Comebackwine.com. Hey, fellas, don't we all need to come back this year?
No
you ain't
question
kidding.
About that. All right, you're going to come back next week. Hopefully we'll actually have a game to talk about. That would be nice, wouldn't it? We'll do that
we
next
will,
week.
We will, fellas. We will, definitely.
All right,
you got
all
it.
Right, Teddy.
See you, Teddy. That is
Teddy Bruschi. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Teddy Bruschi right here on the Harbor One Hotline. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. Don't go away. We got another hour to come.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.